This morning we look together in God's Word in Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21, we'll be reading verses 1 through 11. People of God, hear the Word of God concerning the glories of our ascended King. And now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them.' And immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey.' So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. And they brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on them and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And then the multitude who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.' And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, 'Who is this?' And so the multitude said, 'This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee.'" People of God, the declaration of the text is that Jesus is the Savior. He is Lord. He is the Son of David. And the declarations and focus of Matthew chapter 21 are on the glories of Christ. They are part of the ascent of Jesus into Jerusalem, which would not be something that would be unusual. We're remembering we're on the first day of the week. We're on what we call Sunday, which was not the Sabbath day for the Old Testament people of God. It was the week of the Passover. And so on this day, people would be starting to travel, and those who were closer to Jerusalem would already be coming into the city as they would come up to the feasts. When they did this, there were certain psalms that they would sing in particular. Psalm 122. Psalm 122 would be one of those psalms. Why do we know this? Because they are called Psalms of Ascent. And in Psalm 122, if you go to Psalm 122, you will see verse 0. I say, why verse 0? Because it doesn't have verse 1 next to it. The 1 is put in by translators and by the people who publish a Bible, but the 1 wasn't in the Bible. And so the beginning of Psalm 122 is the introductory words, which are part of God's Holy Scripture. And the first phrase of the text is a song of ascents of David. There are 15 psalms of ascent from Psalm 120 to 134. And these are the psalms that were particularly sung as the people of God would go up to the feasts. And it's called the Psalms of Ascent because Jerusalem is on a hill and the people would ascend up to Jerusalem, up to the temple as they came into the cities for the major feasts. So these are the songs of the major feasts, focusing on the reality of God's people coming up to the place of God's temple, the place of the rule of God's people. And often the king would be the one that would ascend as well. He would be part of that procession. He may even gone out of the city and then come into the city. But the king and the people would ascend into Jerusalem for the celebration of the feasts, singing the psalms of ascent. So Psalm 122, 3 through 5 gives us this background. Jerusalem is built, a city that is compact together, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For the thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. And so you have this the people of God coming to Jerusalem, the central place of the rule and the worship and the proclamation of the gospel in the temple of the Old Testament people of God. And so they come up. It was not known as, it was known as the Ascension Week, if we were going to give it a title, not Palm Sunday, but Ascension Week. That's the focus. There's an ascent. Now, the ascent of Jesus is particularly special. And because it's prophesied. And Jesus presents himself as king. And that kingship is focused on, acknowledged in the context of redemption and salvation in our text. So we'll look at three aspects of it. First of all, the Son of David, Christ's acquisition, his ascension itself, and the acknowledgement of the people of who Jesus is, the Son of David, the Lord who saves. Well, first of all, his acquisition is the acquisition of a donkey and the foal of a donkey, that he might ride the donkey into Jerusalem. He orders his disciples to go get it. They go, they find it exactly the way he says. Another miracle. Jesus didn't have any spies going before him, giving him reports of intelligence. He simply knew these things. Jesus was God, and he knew these things. And he was the one that then would declare them. So he goes and he gives direction. He gives orders. He orders the disciples to go, and they go. He orders the man who owns the donkeys to let him have them, and he lets him have them. And so Jesus is the one who gives orders, and his people obey the king. And he gets a colt and the foal of a donkey. And they bring the colt's mother along as well. But he's riding into Jerusalem. He's entering it as a king, but on a colt. Not on a war horse. Not in a chariot. But on a colt. There may be many who would have wanted him to ride in on a chariot, because they would expect that he would be the king who would save them from Rome. And the very animal that Jesus rides, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a servant king, a one who has come, yes, with rule and authority, the authority to proclaim, the authority to give an order. But he comes as a servant of his people, ultimately a savior, a dying king for his people. And so he acquires this in fulfillment of prophecy. And so as he then actually now takes the donkey and even the colt, and he sits on the donkey, and he goes up into Jerusalem. This is his ascent into Jerusalem as king, as one coming to Jerusalem in the context of the Passover. And this is all in fulfillment of prophecy. And the prophecy is then quoted in the New Testament from Zechariah chapter 9. Zechariah chapter 9. And we would look at that in its context. And that's always a good thing if there's a New Testament quote to know the context of the quote. Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 through 11. Rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon a donkey, upon the colt, the foal of a donkey. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea to sea, even from river to the ends of the earth. As for thee also, by the blood of the covenant, I have set forth the prisoners out of the pit where there is no water. Zechariah 13 verse 1. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. And so there was this connection to the king coming into Jerusalem with salvation, binding the cord on the horns of the altar from Psalm 118. But there is a fountain, and out of that fountain there will be the forgiveness of sins, a fountain filled with blood, the blood of propitiation, the blood of the removal of sin, the blood of the cleansing of sin, the sacrifice that is in Jerusalem that all other sacrifices would have pointed to. Jerusalem, a city of peace. Salem, meaning peace, brings peace between God and man, between the enemies that we have and one another, and brings about the fellowship of true believers. This is the ascent of Jesus into Jerusalem. But the ascent of Jesus into Jerusalem days before his crucifixion was a testimony and a prophecy in and of itself concerning the ascent of Jesus onto his throne after the cross, after the resurrection, and at his literal ascension into heaven and his enthronement. And so the ascent of Jesus into Jerusalem has the major themes of that ascent are the themes of his ascension into heaven and his enthronement at the right hand of God, where the throne of judgment is, where the throne of rule is, where he sits at the right hand of his Father. And so this text is an ascension that follows the pattern that is the preceding pattern, is the type, is the prophecy concerning the ascension of Jesus Christ into heaven itself in Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. And now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will also come in like manner as you saw him go up into heaven. That ascension as king, with the anticipation of enthronement at the right hand of God. This was the ascent of Jesus, which had greater purpose than the normal person's ascent into Jerusalem as they anticipated celebrating the Passover. And so there were crowds who were acknowledging his ascent, who entered into a declaration concerning the ascension of a king, who many likely did not even know the fullness of what they were saying, but the fullness of the declarations are seen even more clearly as the Word of God unfolds our salvation through the cross, resurrection, ascension, and enthronement of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that, for us, is wrapped up into the word Hosanna. As we look at the crowds acknowledging in some way, and we now must acknowledge in the fullness Hosanna in its relationship to Jesus Christ. Because there is the true and ultimate answer to the prayer Hosanna is in Jesus Christ in every way. The prayer before our God, Hosanna, is answered in Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 21, the declaration is made, "Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Well, we see the word Hosanna. This is a quote from Psalm 118. And if you go to Psalm 118, verse 25, and we're going to look at this particular quote, because you don't see the word Hosanna in Psalm 118. So Psalm 118 says this: "Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord." And in verse 9 of chapter 21, we have Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And we look at and we say, well, they didn't quote the Old Testament very accurately. Well, we could say that, but then we would miss what they were really saying, because it was almost a direct quote. But it was a summarized quote, a little bit of a summarized quote, like a hyphenated word. Can't, cannot. Hosanna is a hyphenated word of Psalm 118, verse 25, where it says, "Save now, I pray, O Lord." All those words together sound like this: Hosanna in the Hebrew. Save now, I pray, O Lord. Those Hebrew words are the word Hosanna hyphenated. Just hyphenated a little bit. But every Hebrew would know that Hosanna is "Save now, I pray, O Lord." They would all know that. It's not a misquote. It's just a word that has come to fully stand for that entire phrase. So when you see the word Hosanna, you would be "Save now, O Lord, Son of David." The "Save now, O Lord" prayer is directed to the Son of David, Jesus on the colt. And then in the final part of the verse, "Hosanna in the highest," there is no doubt that Hosanna in the highest is "Save now, we pray, O Lord, God in the heavens." God in heaven. So there's a reference to both the Son and to the Father in verse 9. And the word "save now, O Lord," in Hebrew, Hosanna, is the same words that make up the name Jesus. It's Yahweh, Hoshea, Shia, and then Na. Yahweh, Lord, Shia, save, Na means now. Hosanna. Ho, that's the abbreviation of Yahweh, which also is part of the name Hosea, where we get Hosanna. And Hosea means the Lord saves, just like Yahshua or Joshua means the Lord saves. And we all know that the name Joshua is Jesus. In its Greek form, Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew name Joshua. And so Hosanna is Jesus, we pray now. And Jesus meaning save, the one who saves. It's all connected. The language, the words, the name Jesus, the prayer Hosanna, God in heaven, they are all interconnected in this verse 9 in a marvelous, powerful way. Especially if you know a little Hebrew and you know that word Hosanna, and you know Hosanna is connected to the name Jesus, and it's connected to Yahweh saves. Psalm 118, verse 25 was one of the John 3:16 verses of the Old Testament. Notice the children declared this verse. They didn't have to look it up. They knew it. The children on the road knew it. They knew this verse. And it was connected to the psalm. It wasn't technically a psalm of ascent. It's from Psalm 100. It's from a Psalm 118. But it's connected to it in all of its themes. But they knew this verse by heart, because this was one of the primary verses. And it has the same meaning. Save now, O Lord Jesus. Save now, Father in heaven, in the power of your Holy Spirit. And our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit saves. And how would they have marveled, and how some would marvel, when they came to see, following the death, following the resurrection, even following the ascension of Jesus, the glories of the answer to this prayer, save now. And right at that moment, God was in the act of saving them, because this one they were saying, save us now, O Jesus, that one whose name means, and who was said to be called Jesus because he will save his people from their sins, and he was hours away from doing it. Never before had the prayer been uttered, save now, O Lord, save now, Yahshua, the Lord who saves, save now. And he was right there to save that very week. Well, there is also the clear implications within in this text of the divinity of the Son of David. Hosanna was a prayer that you could only direct to God. And it's directed to Jesus. And it's directed to the Father in heaven, the highest in heaven. It's directed to both. Which goes into the very mystery of the Trinity. That the Lord saves. The Father saves, the Son saves, the Holy Spirit is at work in salvation, and yet we don't have three Saviors, we have one Savior. And as the Athanasian declares, the Father is Lord, Yahweh, Jesus is Lord, the Spirit is Lord, and let there are not three Lords, there are not three Yahwehs, there's one Lord. There's one King. There's one God. But Jesus is a true son of David as well. The son of David, that one through whom God would raise up that king from the line of David, that covenant promise that God gave to David in 2 Samuel chapter 7, 2 Samuel 7. Verse 12. And when your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chastise him with the rod of men and the blows of the sons of men. But my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I removed from you. Ultimately, that is not fulfilled in Solomon. It is not fulfilled in any of the Old Testament kings, but in that one who has no iniquity, but took upon himself our iniquity, and who was chastised for our sin. Hosanna, save now, we pray. Son of David, Jesus, the Lord who saves. And we direct that prayer to Christ. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. May we bring praise and honor and glory to Jesus. To Jesus, because in that name is where salvation is found. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11 summarizes that great declaration as it talks about, as in our form for preparation, a whole number of sins. And in 1 Corinthians, right before verse 11, there's this list of sins. And then in verse 11, it says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were set apart, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You have been saved in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, by the name of Jesus, by Jesus himself. Blessed is this King. Blessed is our Savior. Blessed is that one who answered the prayers of the people when Jesus ascended and saved them. Not in how they thought he would probably save them, but in the way that God had eternally intended to save them. And so all the praise. And our prayer continues to go up. Lord, save us. Jesus, save us. O God in the highest, save us in the power of your Spirit through the glorious promises of the saving work of Jesus Christ. Jesus, who saves us from our sin. He saves us from the power of our sins. He saves us from reoccurring sin. He saves us from the devastating consequences of our sin. He saves us from the enticer, the one who entices us to sin. He saves us from the devil. He saves us from the world. And may we continue to pray. May we continue to lift up a prayer that is rooted in a faith that is looking at the promises and the finished work of Jesus Christ. We praise you, O Lord. Save us. Hosanna, save us. O Lord Jesus, save us, O God our Father. Save us in the power of your Holy Spirit. And so may we continue to both pray and declare that our God is blessed because of his saving work. May we rejoice in the glories of our Lord and Savior. Are you praying this prayer? Do you pray, Hosanna? Do you declare it publicly? Do you say that Jesus, I know, is my Lord and my Savior? Do you know the meaning of that prayer and the context of the fullness of the mystery of Christ that the prophecy of Zechariah was already looking to, as it said that God would then gather His people from every tribe and from all the nations? He would bring them in. Do you love Jesus? Do you publicly declare Him? We must unite our voices, even with the voices that rang out at the ascension of Jesus into heaven, and declare at His earthly ascension, when with voices of His heavenly ascension, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. And then know that all of that fullness was revealed. And we see it even more clearly in Revelation chapter 5, verse 11, as the Hosanna of the church triumphant and the hosts of heaven would be declared when Jesus ascended and took His place at the right hand of the Father. Revelation chapter 5, verse 11. And then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, who has saved us, to receive power and riches and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Hosanna to Jesus. Hosanna to the Father in the highest. And then the four living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped Him who lives forever and ever. Amen. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, may we know the glories of the ascent of Jesus into Jerusalem. We thank You that You answered the prayers of Your people, and that Jesus went into Jerusalem. He went to His death. He saves us and saved us through His finished work on the cross. And we thank You, O God, that as we call upon You to save us today, that You save us. Whether that be a cry of Hosanna to Jesus for the very first time by true faith, or whether that be our cry to Jesus, Hosanna, at the very end of our lives. Oh, Father, may we in every way look to Jesus as our ascended King and Redeemer. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.